Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot.
Everyone out there, and welcome to the world of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Pat Rice.
And I'm Jason Ophir.
What's going on, Jason?
Not much.
Yeah, you know, we missed a couple weeks.
We did. We were naughty. But we had to get caught up with technology a little bit for the show.
We were getting some new equipment, and by the way, we are on new equipment, so everybody out there, I hope you can hear us okay. We think that you can.
There's a lot of wires everywhere plugging into boxes, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that it actually works.
We're very high tech now.
Yeah, very high tech.
But obviously the reason is so that we have good sound quality. But if you're in the chat room, let us know. By the way, the chat room is open here on Paranormal Horizons. We're going to broadcast for about an hour this evening. We have a great guest coming up, Jason.
Yes, we do.
Yes, and before we get him on, I'll tell everybody a little bit more about him, but anything going on in your world in the paranormal? Have you had any hauntings or abductions or anything?
Well, I don't think I've been abducted anytime
recently. At least that you know of.
That I know of.
All right.
Like, I haven't woke up outside or woken up with leaves under the blanket, sir.
Any strange marks
or anything. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like we just got a comment in chat that we sound great. So
excellent. Yeah. I did go to the Angel Conference a couple of weeks ago that was in Washington. And what a wonderful event that was. I'd never gone. And I went with these three wonderful ladies, actually four, that I've just become friends with. Cherie Davis, who was actually on our show a few weeks ago. She's a very, very talented hypnotherapist and healer. I had the opportunity to go with her, and I met a few other people, got some great contacts, and we'll go over that later on tonight of some people, some great guests that are going to be on the show in the future.
Yeah, you met a lot of great people out there at the Ghost Conference.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't that busy. And I felt bad at one point for some of the vendors, but then I thought, you know what, it's good for me because I got to spend all this time with the people I wanted to talk to, and it was really nice. So, yeah. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest, Jason, Pete Orbea. And he is actually the marketing and communications director for Port Gamble in Washington.
I've never heard of Port Gamble. I had to Google it.
You know, I hadn't either, and I was talking with Pete earlier today. It is a privately owned city. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No, but if I had multi-millions of dollars, I would love to have my own city.
Yeah, that'd and this cool. is a 127-acre town. So that really wouldn't be that big. And it's old. It started in the mid-1800s, and Pete will tell us more about that. And apparently the whole darn town is haunted.
That's like a ghost hunter's dream.
I know. And the way I found out about this was when I was at the Oregon City 4th Annual Ghost Conference, I met Mary. And Mary is part of the Olympic Peninsula Paranormal Society, which Pete is also a part of. And so I got connected with her, and she connected me with Pete. And they also have an annual ghost conference, too. which we're going to get more information on.
Yeah, we're just going to have to figure out a way to get out there and visit that conference.
Well, I'm going.
Well, if you're going, I'm going.
Okay, we're coming to the conference, Pete.
Wait, you're driving, right?
Oh, geez. Okay. No, I thought we were going on the motorcycle.
There's no way we're going to go on my
No, we can't
Harley.
Really take our equipment.
Oh, I do have a bagger, so it's got space. We probably could, but I probably shouldn't say that because I don't want you to talk me into having to ride up.
Okay, we can go on my Volkswagen.
That'll work.
All right.
That's the deal.
All right. So, again, if you're just tuning in, this is Pat Rice and Jason Ophir, another episode of Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio, KITC FM 106.5 and KNCP 107.3. We'll probably take a commercial break about halfway through the show, but if you do have any questions, please feel free to throw them out into the chat room.
Yep, and we got several people in chat right now.
All right, that's good. It looks like Pete's on the line.
It looks like it.
Let's go ahead and bring him on. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Good. Good. Can you hear me?
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, thank you for taking time, Pete. I know you are a super busy person just with your work and your family life, so we really appreciate you taking time out to be with us tonight.
Oh, thank you.
So, gosh, Pete, first of all, I love to ask people, how the heck did you get into being interested in ghosts and things like that? Did you have a personal experience?
Yes, I had a personal experience when I was a kid, probably about 7 years old, on a road trip to Arizona. I was headed to Sedona with my grandparents, and right in the middle of the road appeared two Native American, looked to be warriors, and they turned and looked at the car, and then I looked at my grandpa, we looked at each other and looked back, and they were gone and nowhere to be seen. And that was my first experience. And since then, I've just always kind of had an interest in it. Worked at a haunted theater in Boise, Idaho when I was in college, called the Egyptian Theater. And then once I came to Port Gamble, I started hearing about all the ghost activity, and so it piqued my interest, and then I started working here and got to take over doing all the ghost tours, and so then I got my fill of paranormal activity.
Yeah, I'll say it. You know, when I met Mary, she told me, and I was talking to her, she said, the whole darn town is haunted, and meaning Port Gamble. So tell us about the history of Port Gamble, Pete.
Sure. Well, it's one of Washington State's oldest towns. It was founded in 1853. It's always been a company-owned town, owned by Pope and Talbot, and they started a sawmill here in 1853. And so that was the big industry, you know, logging and sawmilling. It ran until 1995 when it closed down, so it ran for 142 years. It's the longest-running sawmill in U.S. history. And once they closed the sawmill down, they opened up the town for anybody to come live in the houses. And I made my way up here around 2007. But it's basically an old sawmill town. The mill is no longer there. It was torn down when it was closed in 1985. But you know, we have houses dating back to 1859 here in town. In an old historic church, St. Paul's Church, which was built in 1879. And we do have a newer building in town, that's newest building in town by 65 years, where we hold weddings at, and that used to be on the site where the old hotel was. So there used to be a hotel here as well. So it's just it's one of Washington's oldest towns.
Now, are all the buildings, do they have paranormal activity, or is there one building in particular that tends to have the most activity?
Well, I'd say most of the buildings have reported activity from either residential tenants or commercial tenants. But I would say the Walker Ames Mansion here is the most well-known house for paranormal activity. That seems to be where people have the most personal experiences. There are a few buildings in town that haven't had any activity reported, but those are mostly the residential units. So kind of in the center of the town, all the buildings down there have reported activity.
And what kind of activity do people report? Is there anything like negative? Like, well, what's the standard kind of activity that people claim happened out there?
Well, all of our long-term residents, as we call them, are usually pretty nice. There's been a couple of grumpy older fellows reported, but for the most part, it seems like some of the town residents who were here initially are still here. So some of the activity is disembodied voices. I couldn't tell you how many EVPs we have. There's video evidence, apparition sightings, people being touched, kind of you name it, it's happened up here.
Sounds like some place I need to visit.
I'm excited to come there soon. But now, Pete, going back to the house you were talking about that has a lot of activity, did you say that was the Walker Range?
Walker Ames.
Ames.
Yeah, it's the biggest house in town. It's got nice stained glass, really exquisite woodwork all the way through the house. It's definitely the most beautiful building in town, and it belonged to one of the mill managers and the family. So it was kind of, I guess you'd call it the big house in town. It overlooked the mill site.
Okay, does somebody currently live in it?
No, actually the last people to live in there was in 1995 when the mill closed down, then they moved out. So it's been vacant since then.
Okay, so it's just a vacant house that is haunted.
Yeah, I'll think it.
Pretty much every floor. There's a basement, two main floors, and an attic, and there's activity on every floor. People have personal experiences on pretty much every floor.
Is there any kind of, like, documentation that illustrates, like, how many deaths there were in the residence?
Well, we do have a historic museum here, and it was started in 1976, so there's a lot of old records. Mostly ledgers from the mill site. But there, as far as I know, there's been 4 deaths on the mill site related to, you know, sawmill injuries and accidents, which is a pretty amazing number considering it was running for 142 years.
I do know
that there were a number of fires down there. You can imagine lots of sawdust and guys smoking cigars, so that's a bad combination. But, you know, as far as I know, only 4 people died on the mill site.
I was going to say that, you know, with historic technology and, you know, logging is super dangerous. Sawmills are super dangerous. There had to have been a lot more than 4 people
that's amazing. Yeah. But Pete, going back to the Walker Ames house, who did people die in that home, and is that who is not haunting it, but still there possibly? And what have you guys picked up on in your investigations in that home?
Sure. Some of the names we've gotten during investigations would lead us to believe that the original homeowners, Emma and William Walker, are there, based upon names we've gotten through investigation. But, you know, I don't know if people actually died in there. I haven't found the record stating who actually died in there. But we have gotten quite a few names in there that would lead us to believe people who lived there are still there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess you don't necessarily have to die in the home. The spirit may just go back.
Go back where it knows familiar.
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful house, I could understand why they'd want to go back.
So now you is that a house now that's just open to the public that can be toured?
Well, we don't leave it open for the public. It's usually locked, but we do have ghost walk tours every October through March, and so we open it up for that if you come on the ghost walk tour. And basically it's a 3-hour tour where we tour the museum in town, we go into the post office community center, tour the old morgue that's in the basement there, we go up to the old cemetery, and we kind of walk through town, talk about the history of the houses, some of the people, and share the paranormal experiences, and then we get to spend about an hour in the Walker Ames during those tours.
Okay.
So it's a lot of fun. You get to go through each floor and spend a little bit of time.
Do you ever have any activity that happens on these tours? Do people ever experience anything?
Well, I'd say most of the time I'm in that house is I'm doing one of those tours, and most of the time we do have experiences. A lot of what's experienced is disembodied voices, amazingly enough. We usually hear the voice of a woman or a young girl, usually seems to come through when we're on the tours. And then a lot of footstep traffic we hear. You know, it's always on the floor above you. We'll hear somebody walking around up there, and I know nobody's up there. So I think the tours sell out way in advance, and I think it's because people do have experiences, and they want to come back, and they tell all their friends. So there's a pretty good chance if you go on a tour, you'll have an experience.
Wow.
And nothing is scarier than the disembodied voice of a child.
Yeah.
Probably because I watch too many movies. But,
Well,
I know, it always makes me think of the Poltergeist, right?
Yeah.
Pete, are the tours done at night or during the day?
We do them at night, of course. It's got to be dark out.
Yeah.
They usually go from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay.
And it does take the whole 3 hours to do it, so.
Yeah, but you're going to a lot of places, like you said. You're going to the Walker Ames house, to the morgue. Is the morgue kind of creepy?
It definitely looks creepy, and there's usually activity down there when I'm down there. They might like me down there. I'm not sure yet, but there always seems to be some activity when I'm down there.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I think of a morgue, I think of, like, coolers where they put the bodies.
I know, dead bodies.
Is that what it's like, or is it different?
No, all that stuff's been removed. So it was used as a morgue from 1906 to 1929 because the hospital was built in 1929. So they moved all the stuff from down in the basement down to the new hospital. So none of that stuff is actually there. But there is some remnants. It looks like there was a fire in the area where the morgue was at one point because there's smoke damage on the floor joist. But all that, it's basically an empty basement that's very creepy looking.
Well, that could be scary enough, especially if it's dark.
Yeah. Now, Pete, what about the cemetery? So, obviously, the cemetery, you know, was probably created shortly after the town became alive
in
1853. So, is it just like a lot of old-looking headstones and things like that?
Yeah, the oldest one that's in there is 1856, and that's the year that it was established.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's from 1856. There's about 105 known burials there, which could mean there's more. And there's all different kinds of headstones in there. And there's even there were a lot of Masons here in Port Gamble, so you'll see a lot of Masonic symbols on the headstones. There's a couple of Odd Fellows that are buried here. Probably what the cemetery is most known for is right smack dab in the middle of it, there's a gentleman buried there. He's a U.S. sailor, and he was killed in 1856 in what's known as the Indian Wars out here. And he's the first U.S. naval casualty in any Pacific campaign, and he's buried here. So that's probably what the cemetery is most known for.
Wow.
So prior to the town being established, I would imagine we looked at it on a map, and it was probably inhabited by the natives. So they were having a conflict out there?
Well, the conflict didn't happen, per se, right in the Port Gamble area, but there was some skirmishes going on kind of all around Puget Sound, and we're just right around the corner from Puget Sound, so we kind of get lumped in with that as well. But, yeah, I believe there were some Native American settlements over on this side of the bay. There's currently Port Gamble Tsklallam tribe on the other side of Gamble Bay.
Oh, okay, so in the investigations that you've done, Pete, or other groups that you know of, have they ever picked up on any Indian paranormal?
I have heard of a story of a Native American young man running through. We have a lot of empty grass fields here where houses used to sit. And there's been a couple of reports of people seeing what looked like a young Native American man that's fits like the 1800s style of dress running through these fields. I personally haven't witnessed that, though.
I wonder if there's,
so there is a couple of stories.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's Indian burial grounds out there.
There could be, and I don't necessarily want to stumble upon one.
Yeah, I know. Nobody wants a curse.
Yeah. So Pete, now if a group, a paranormal group, you know, wanted to come to Port Gamble and do an investigation, do you open up like the Walker Ames building for a group to do that?
That's usually the place everyone wants to go, and being that it's vacant, that's the easiest place for us to let somebody investigate. We have had teams investigate some of the other buildings that are commercially leased.
Mm-hmm.
But the Walker Ames is the easiest, and we do allow that. So they can come in and, you know, do an all-nighter or stay until 1, 2 in the morning, or even just do a short 3-hour investigation. So we do try and work with teams. We want to help further the research of the field, and this is a great place to do it. So it's nice to be able to work with everyone.
Yeah. I think I've known a couple people over here in this neck of the woods that I know have come over to Port Gamble before. So it sounds fascinating to me.
I would love to go out there and do an investigation.
I know.
Yeah, you know, we do try and be mindful of the long-term residents, so we try and space it out. You know, we try and not have people in there investigating every weekend, you know, maybe like once a month sort of thing, just to give the house a little bit of a break in between.
Sure, yeah. Now, Pete, in your experience, then, you know, going back to your first experience as a 7-year-old boy with your grandfather and seeing two Indians in the road then that disappeared, have you had any other impactful experiences that you can share with the audience this evening?
Sure. Yeah, I'd say probably my most impactful ones other than the first one would be here in Port Gamble, because I do get to go into these buildings quite often. Probably one of the most impactful ones was around Christmas time, and every Christmas first part of December, we have a big festival here in town called Country Christmas, and we have a tree lighting ceremony, fireworks, all sorts of arts and crafts. But we set up the Walker Ames house as Santa's workshop, and so we have a bunch of kids' crafts, gingerbread houses, you know, birdseed, pine cones, those kind of crafts.
I want to go there.
Yeah, so I've noticed over the last few years that when we have it decorated like that, the house seems fairly active. And so a couple of years ago, I was leading a ghost walk tour through there, and we were on the first floor, and I had about 15 people with me. And I was asking if the people in the house wanted to come down and make a gingerbread house with us. And we started to see what looked like a short shadow coming down the main staircase in the house. And it just kind of stopped about halfway down and then disappeared. And I said, oh, it's okay. You can come on downstairs. And then from the top of the stairs, running the entire length of the house, somebody ran across the floor up there. You know, you hear the boom, 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 boom of the footsteps running all the way across the floor.
Wow.
So we all kind of gasped and were surprised. And so I immediately went up to the second floor, and a brave few on the tour followed me. Some people didn't, but some people followed me.
Mm-hmm.
We went up there, and I went into the master bedroom on the second floor, and I felt like I ran into something. Like I just stopped, and then these loud footsteps went right in front of me around a corner. So that surprised me. And then we kind of stationed ourselves on the second floor, and I started to do the same kind of questioning, you know, would you like to come down and make a gingerbread house? And then somebody saw a shadow move through this hallway towards the attic staircase. And then, lo and behold, from the top of the attic stairs running the opposite direction across the length of the house in the attic, we heard the same thing. They sound like children's footsteps going, running from one side to the other. So that was really good footsteps, you know, to hear when you know nobody's up there. That was an impactful one. Probably my second favorite was last August. my team, Olympic Peninsula Paranormal Society. We were doing an investigation there in late August, and the house seemed alive that night. And we were all downstairs kind of chatting. So, you know, we just kind of set up the cameras, getting ready to start. And I had my recorder running on the first floor, and we thought we heard a voice. And when I went back to listen to my audio, there was a voice through, and it said, "I'm here." And you hear Mary, who you met at the Oregon Ghost Conference, you could hear her react to it. She says, "I heard a voice."
Oh.
And later on, just a short time later, we were upstairs asking who it was that said something. You know, who are you? And we got a disembodied voice saying, "A lady." And we all heard that one. And it was the little girl voice that we usually hear. You can recognize her voice after a while if you've been in there. And then a short time later, we were asking her what her name was. And she responded, and it was a disembodied voice, and I got it crystal clear, Class A EVP on my audio, and she said her name was Annabelle. And when she said her name, I felt like I was going to fall to the floor. It was a wave of energy went through me when we heard it. It was pretty amazing.
Right, so you,
that's another really good one.
Yeah, it sounds like you really got validated, especially with the energy coming through your body, too.
Isn't Annabelle the name of that haunted doll?
And that happened right when the movie was coming out.
Oh, no. That's never a good thing.
But it is a typical name for that era.
Mm-hmm.
Or not typical.
And a lot of people have picked up the name, whether it be psychically. A lot of people have gotten the name Anna in there, so that was kind of some more validation for us.
Yeah, definitely.
And you said that there wasn't really anything negative there, and we talked to a bunch of people that have unfortunately ran into negative spirits. And has anybody that's ever conducted an investigation felt like something has followed them home or anything like that? Because we hear about that all the time, so I was wondering if anybody had experienced anything like that.
I've heard of that before, and I will say, you know, for the most part, everything's positive. There has been a couple of negative personal experiences where people in the Walker Ames house, specifically in the basement, where people just started to not feel well and picked up the presence of someone who was not very nice. So there has been that, and I have heard of a couple people. You know, they've called me up after an investigation saying they felt like maybe something came home with them. So usually, like when I do the tours with the general public that sign up to come in, I usually do a little thing before we leave saying, you know, you can go wherever you need to in the house and the town, but please don't go home with anybody. And usually I don't hear anything back after that. So.
Yeah, no overnighters.
And that's what worries me about investigations is, you know, you're having fun one night, something follows you home, and the next thing you know, the walls are bleeding and stuff. Furniture is getting rearranged.
Well, you have to protect
yourself. I hope that never happens. I never heard of that up here. So.
Yeah. So, Pete, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, I want to chat with you more. We want to hear more about the Ghost Conference coming up in October.
Yes.
Yeah,
sure.
Which is exciting. And just to remind everyone, the chat room is open. And if you do have a question for Pete, you can throw it out there in the chat room and we'll ask him that question.
Absolutely.
Here on blogtalkradio.com and also KITCFM and KNCPFM, where this show is rebroadcast at 10 o'clock on Saturdays, Pacific time. All right, Jason, it's time for one of our commercials for many of our friends.
It'll be a mystery to you because you can't see what I'm doing.
He's controlling everything.
I've got the buttons.
Yes.
So.
All right. Pete, stay on the line.
Yes,
we'll be right back with you.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.
All right. Bill Bean, friend of Paranormal Horizons.
Yeah.
That guy is so busy. He's we haven't had a chance busy. To get him on the show again.
Yeah,
but
we need to get him back on the show again. I'm going to send him a message and maybe we can get him on in the next month or so.
Yeah, so we are back here on Paranormal Horizons. Our very special guest this evening is Pete Orbea. He's with the Port Gamble Marketing and Communication Director. Now, Pete, one other area that I know you do, you're also a researcher in the paranormal field, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I'm a part of, like you mentioned before, Olympic Peninsula Paranormal Society, and I've recently joined up with Paranormal Research and Investigations here in Washington as an extended researcher, and I just try and research as much as I can through investigation, not really through the historical side of things, but just through investigation. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, you mean like doing the live investigations with all the equipment?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I love that.
So are you guys doing it? It mainly in the state of Washington, or what areas do you do it?
Well, with Olympic Peninsula Paranormal Society, we go all over the state of Washington, and recently I went to the old Montana State Prison. I wasn't able to attend that one.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I'm sorry I missed that one because it was a fun one, it sounds like. So kind of all over the Northwest.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe you'll get down to Oregon sometime, too. But now, Jason, just wanted to mention again, I know there's a lot of people in the chat room. Is there any questions out there for Pete yet?
Not that I've caught.
In the chat room. Okay, well, just if anybody has a question, throw it out there and we'll ask him. Port Gamble, Washington, a haunted town. I hope it's okay if I describe it that way, Pete. It sounds like a
sure.
really great place to visit. And then also, you've got an annual ghost conference coming up in October, correct?
I do. It's our sixth annual.
Ah. Now,
yeah,
give
it's
us
October
the date.
23rd. Yeah, October 23rd through the 25th.
Okay. And give us some details on that. What's the cost to get in?
Sure. It's $55 for general admission for the 3 days. And if you're part of a paranormal team, it's $50. So there's a little bit of a discount there.
Okay.
And that gets you into 3 days of hearing the speakers, being part of some of the activities. We also have investigations at night. And we have 5 locations this year that we are opening up, including the Walker Ames House. And you can buy tickets for those at the conference. Those are $10 a piece. And so there's 2 investigation time slots on Friday night and 3 investigation time slots on Saturday night. In addition to investigations, we also have a few classes going on.
Okay.
And tickets for those can be bought at the conference. And we've got 4 classes. We've got 1 Friday night and 3 on Saturday. And they range from classes on using tech equipment to mediumship, so kind of all over the place. One really cool thing that's different this year than past years is we're holding the conference in the historic Port Gamble Theater. So that's something new this year.
Say that again, Pete. It cut out a little bit. You're holding what?
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
We're holding the conference this year in the historic theater, which was built in 1906.
Okay, is that haunted?
It is, yes. There is activity in there. So I'm really excited about that because in the past we've never done that in the theater. So it's going to be a new experience for everybody who's come to every conference. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Now on these investigations, how many people are in each group, like when they're going to run the investigations? Is it just a handful of people or a large group when you're going to each site?
Well, it depends. The Walker Ames House is usually pretty full because that's the place everybody wants to get into. But places like the museum that's actually fairly active, those are usually tend to be smaller groups. And then in the theater and post office and the morgue, those are all the same building. Those tend to be a little bit smaller groups because everyone really wants to get into the Walker Ames House. So we're hoping to kind of help spread everybody around to get smaller investigation sizes on each time slot.
And do people bring their own equipment when they do that? And how
yeah.
does that work?
Yeah, we encourage. Okay. Yeah, we encourage everybody to bring their own equipment. Olympic Peninsula Paranormal Society usually will come and we'll set up in one of the locations with all the DVRs and all the equipment. So people who've never been on an investigation can see how all the equipment works. So we usually do okay. that at least in one of the locations.
That's fun.
It sounds
yeah.
like a great time.
Well, I mean, that's really neat, Pete, because a lot of people, you know, they're interested in it, they want to get into it, but they don't know how it works. So I think that's really nice. Now, how many people on average come to your event?
Well, it's been a growing event. In the past, you know, we maxed out at around 65 people or so.
Okay.
Because it, you know, you pay to get in. So we expect there was going to be a smaller turnout of people. But last year we had over 120. And
oh.
So we more than doubled last year. So I'm hoping that this year we can keep growing.
Yeah, now in addition to the speakers and the classes, did you say that you have vendors there too?
Yes, there will be vendors. On the Port Gamble Paranormal website, you can download a vendor application. And space is limited, and I've already gotten quite a few vendor applications sent in, so I'm looking forward to getting more paranormal teams up here. I'd like to get more of the teams up here this year and just, you know, so everyone can kind of network with each other, share information, talk about investigations,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Yeah, and I was looking at the count, kind of the event schedule, and it looks like you've got a couple of folks from our neck of the woods at the conference doing speaking or a class. Seth Michaels is going to be there.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a good friend of Paranormal Horizons, very well respected in the paranormal world, and Aurora, they're all part of a White Light Paranormal group.
Yes, I'm super excited to have both of them up here. Aurora and Seth are going to be teaching in class, and Seth is also going to be speaking as well. So I'm very
great.
Excited about that. We've also got Neil McNeil and Darren Thompson,
mm-hmm.
and we've got Katie Jordan. We got Jay Verberg coming,
mm-hmm.
Tyler Fetterson, and we've got William Becker. He's coming as well. He's
good.
One of the staples of the conference. Yeah, so he's speaking
yeah.
as well. We've got Karen Anderson, and she's an animal communicator.
Oh, I love
Michael,
that.
Yeah, Michael White. He's from Paranormal Research and Investigations.
Yeah.
He's going to be speaking as well. And we also have Ankasha Amenti, and she's going to be doing a gallery reading from the conference.
Cool.
Wow, this sounds exciting. And, you know, it doesn't sound like you have radio people there yet.
Yeah.
I do, in fact, have Oregon Paranormal Radio. They're going to be coming up.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think they were at the Oregon City Ghost Conference too. They do
oh.
a great job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but I would love to have you guys as a vendor there.
Okay.
Yeah, we should definitely. Do
yeah,
that.
We'll talk about that then offline.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure, because it sounds like a fun event. Now, when you come to Port Gamble for something like this, though, where do people stay? Is there hotels?
Well, the one thing about Port Gamble is we don't have a hotel anymore. So we do have some guest cottages, and to my knowledge, they're already booked up.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a special deal going with the Polsbo Inn and Suites, and you can find their information on the Port Gamble Paranormal website. And
okay.
they've worked out a special deal with us. They're about 10 to 15 minutes from Port Gamble, and they have worked out a special deal for $79 a night for their hotel.
Oh, that's
for anybody
really
coming to the Ghost Conference.
Probably up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's totally reasonable. So, yeah, this really sounds like a great event. You know, I love the combination, Pete, of, you know, having the speakers and some classes and then actually doing the live investigations. Now, when you do the live investigations, does anybody, you know, you're doing your recordings of your voices and things like that. do you then share that later at the conference?
Oh, yeah, like the evidence review.
Like the evidence, yeah. Possibly? Yeah.
Anything that gets reported to us, I usually try and share. And I have had some people contact me, you know, a month after the conference and send me an EVP that they got during one of the investigations. And, you know, I try and help them figure out what it is that they've heard or debunk it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, people, I always encourage everybody at the conference to email me anything that they think they've received on an investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because with so many people, you know, and especially with, you know, a lot of people that are psychics or empaths or whatever, they're always picking up on different kinds of information. And it's kind of interesting to get as much information as you can because it helps validate what's
exactly
really going on there. So
yeah.
Sounds like an excellent time. I can't wait to go up there.
Definitely. Yeah, I
look forward to it every year, and it seems like as soon as I'm done with the conference, the planning for the next one starts.
That's so. How those events are for sure. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I look forward to it. It's a lot of fun.
So it's actually the 6th annual Port Gamble Ghost Conference, and that's
yes.
going to be October 23rd through 25th. About $55 to get in for the whole 3 days.
Yes.
So, and lots to do. I mean, there's speakers. And now give us an idea, Pete, like what's a class somebody could take?
One of the classes that is going to be like Mediumship 101 with Seth Michael and Aurora. That's an
yeah.
example of a class. We're going to have a tech class, like using, you know, digital recorders or even using a ghost box or spirit box, some people call it. Another class is going to be taught by Joe Teeples, who is an author. And he's
mm-hmm.
going to be, his topic is going to be getting the most out of an investigation. So how to set up your investigation to get the most out of most evidence you can out of the investigation. And he's going to be using the Walker Ames as, from his experiences in the Walker Ames, that's what he's going to use as the basis for it. So that's going to be a good
mm-hmm.
one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I met Joe briefly at the Oregon Ghost Conference. Yeah, he's got quite a few books, I think. So
he does have quite a few books. Yeah, he's
yeah.
a heck of a guy. He's going to be at the Crypticon here in Seattle, which is kind of the Seattle Paracon as well. He's going to be up here next weekend starting May 22nd over in Seattle. So if you want to meet Joe, go see him there as well.
Crypticon,
wow.
I've never heard of that.
I know, I've never heard of that, Pete. What is that?
Is it a big paranormal conference in Seattle?
It's a horror convention.
Horror.
Like horror
oh.
movies. So
that'd
lots
be right
of,
up my alley
lots
too.
Of, yeah, lots of crazy makeup and stuff like that, but they've also
okay.
started a Paracon kind of under the umbrella of Crypticon as well. So that should be pretty interesting, and I know Joe's going to be there. And I think Darren Thompson, who's one of our speakers, he's founder of Whisper, a big group up here, paranormal group. He's usually kind of heads that up, so they'll all be there over in Seattle.
Fantastic.
It's like a Comic-Con, but it's scary.
Yeah, horror.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. I got a little scared when I went.
Yeah, well, you know, there's so many people that love the horror.
Oh,
I mean, like, I like talking about paranormal, but horror stories, can scare me. I don't enjoy them that much. I might have to take a Valium or something.
I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to dress up as Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Oh, God. That's what
you'd,
is scary.
You'd fit right in.
Yeah,
that would
yeah.
be awesome.
Oh, man. Well, hey, Pete, we so appreciate you taking time to be here on Paranormal Horizons. And, you know, we'll continue to talk about and promote your event coming up in October. And maybe a little bit before the October event, we can have you on again, you know, just to give some promotion. How can folks find out more about the event? Let's throw out your website.
Sure. If you go to portgamble.com. And that's just all one word, portgamble.com. And go under the events tab. You'll see a paranormal tab there. Just click on that, and you can find your way to the paranormal website. And all the information,
okay.
all the all the speakers and bios and class instructor bios are going to be on there. Very soon I'm going to have the schedule of events so people
okay.
can see when certain people are speaking. I have a really cool, there's two photos on that website of apparitions that have been caught by people on my ghost tours. And I've posted those on there, so check that out and see what you think.
All right. We will do that. And can you buy the tickets in advance?
You can do the registration, the $55 or the $50 if you're on the paranormal team. You can do that registration in advance or at the door. And all the investigation and class tickets will only be purchased during the conference. So you can't pre-buy those.
Mm-hmm. All right. And what's the cost for a typical class?
$5.
Reasonable. That's very reasonable.
You know, I was thinking, Pat, you know, we could maybe even come up with a commercial if he wants us to promote that between now and October.
You know, Pete, we make free commercials for folks that have been on Paranormal Horizons, so we can talk to you offline if you'd like us to make you a commercial that we play kind of at the half hour of our show every week. So we'd love to do that for you if you something
that
you'd
sounds
entertain.
I really like the sound of that.
Well,
Pat will contact you offline and we'll get it figured out.
Yeah, we'll figure out, you know, how, if you want your voice on it or our voice on it. But Jason is the mastermind behind the commercials.
I'm the mad scientist.
Yeah, he's like a mad scientist.
I would love to chat with you guys about that then.
Yeah, it's just, you know, something, you know, offering our thanks to you, you know, for being on the show. So, well, listen, we'll go ahead and let you go. We've got a few more minutes here on Paranormal Horizons. Oh, was there any questions for Pete?
I was paying so much attention to the conversation.
You didn't pay attention to the chat room.
I'm bad. I don't think so.
Well, everybody knows how to reach him. We're going to post this information on our Facebook page as well. And Pete, we thank you so much for being on the show, and we look forward to meeting you in October.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's nice to be on with some great people like you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Pete.
You too. Thank you very much.
All right. Good night. Wow, this just sounds like such a fun event.
I'm getting excited about going up there.
I know, because we just made a decision that we're going.
We're
going
to go up there.
We're going.
For sure.
Whether it's on your motorcycle or my car.
Probably not going
to
be on my motorcycle.
You're kind of too big to ride in my Volkswagen.
No.
I might have to tie you on the top. Okay, I have a super
rule.
We'll take the super rule.
The listeners don't know. They haven't seen me, but I am a rather large stature. But not wide, but tall.
You're tall.
Tall. Yeah.
Yes. Very handsome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I get that a lot.
Okay.
Maybe that's an exaggeration.
Well, you know, I just want to thank everybody again for tuning in and supporters of, you know, Pete. And, boy, he's involved in a lot of things. You know, the Olympic Peninsula Paranormal Society. I want to thank Mary for, you know, passing on, you know, Pete to be on the show. I met her at the Oregon Ghost Conference and Port Gamble Ghost Conference coming up in October.
And you can't beat going to a haunted town. It doesn't get any better than that.
I know. It'd be fun to take a road trip. But I wanted to talk a little bit, Jason, about some of our upcoming guests.
Yeah, and you've done an excellent job lining them up. I've been so busy. I would do it, but you
well, yeah, you know, you were
your
student.
That's right. Oh, and
so
I just completed my practicum today, so I'm totally excited.
Yeah. So
about
for those of you listening, Jason is embarking on an entirely new career.
Totally. I spent 20 years catching shoplifters.
Yeah.
And now I'm in a lab and drawing people's blood. It's
totally
really
different.
Really strange.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but you have a comforting demeanor about you. So,
but
you,
I don't look comforting. I look frightening.
Yeah, but when you speak, you know, so if you were going to draw my blood, I think I'd be okay with that. So.
Well, I can bring some needles.
Oh, God. Okay, oh, God, I hate needles. Ooh. But anyway, next week on the 20th of May, we have Laura Walters. Her organization is Being Enchanted. Now, can you guess what that's about, Jason?
Being enchanted?
Yeah. You know, think of magic, enchantment, little things flying around.
Oh, fairies.
Fairies. Yeah.
Do they?
And she's got a ton of information on fairies and other mystical type creatures.
So fairies are real.
Yes. Yes, they're real.
I'm going to approach that with an open mind. I have to be honest with you, I'm a little skeptical.
If they're not real, I'm going to be really, really disappointed. But I'm really looking forward to talking with Laura. I met her at the Angel Conference. And, yeah, gnomes, elves, fairies, you know, all those crazy creatures.
I see you have some pictures over there of
I got these pictures from her.
Or trees,
yeah,
or something.
And they're
it's a nice
beautiful.
Picture, yeah.
See, she's a photographer. And came into this whole nother universe with these creatures. So she's going to tell us about that.
So, yeah, Pat has this picture of a tree in a forest. It's covered in moss. It looks like an old tree. Something like you'd see in Lord of the Rings.
It is an old tree.
Supposedly fairies in the picture.
Yeah. Well,
so who knows?
I can see them.
I don't know.
So.
If you can see them, I can tell.
But we'll talk more with Laura next week. I'm excited to have her. And then at the end of the month, on the 27th, we're going to have Frank Bennett again. Now, you were busy. I had him, two, 3 weeks ago. And he's written this really cool book called The Aberdeen Wild Man. And this is on the East Coast. He'll tell us about it. The book is really good. He also, in his book, not only does he talk about the Aberdeen Wild Man, but he talks about lots of other...
What is the wild man? Is it like a mythical creature? Like
well, Frank will tell us about it. He looked human, but he had unhuman abilities, like being able to jump
like
10
a superhero.
Feet into a tree.
Yeah, I don't think people can do that.
No, no. So anyway, it's pretty interesting, and he's going to tell us all about that. So that's going to be on the 27th. And then we're all the way into June. And on June 3rd, we're going to have Medium Sherry. And
what'd she do?
Well, she's a talented psychic. And I also met her at the Oregon Ghost Conference. And when I met her, I was just standing at her table, you know, saying hi to her. And she sort of like went into this trance kind of mode, and she goes
just when like you just walked up and then she kind of
yeah I said hi thing. And then she said there's a man around you, and she gave me a whole bunch of information, and I'm not going to give too many details, but it was totally accurate. And so she's going to be on the show. I'm really excited about her. She's never been on the radio before, and she's really looking forward to being on our show to get her feet wet.
I would love to see her and see if there's anybody around me.
Yeah, well, she might be able to tell you that over the phone, too.
That'd be kind of scary, too.
Yeah. And then we're going to be scheduling Kelly Jo Monahan again.
Yes.
We're not sure the date.
Who is always brings a big following.
Yes. And so that's coming up. And then we have another psychic that's going to be on that's also in our neck of the woods. Her name is June Ludgren, and I don't have a date for her yet. We're going to figure that out. But lots of, you know, opportunities. June is also an animal communicator, too.
And now an animal, I'm not really up to date with the animal communication. Is somebody like tells what the animal wants?
Well,
like,
well, they could, but I think the way that most people use an animal psychic is number one, if their pet is lost.
To track it down, kind of like a psychic with a missing person.
Yes, exactly. Or I know that I've heard situations where let's say the animal was older and sick. And what happens with humans is we have trouble letting go. So sometimes we keep our animals alive too long. This is my opinion. This is Pat Rice's opinion. And animal psychics can speak to the animal, and the animal might say, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, so let me go. And just things like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So... I've never actually used an animal psychic, but I know other people that have. It's pretty fascinating.
I don't think I'd want to know what my cats think of me. They're not very loving.
Well, they probably are. And I've also heard through my research into animals and animal psychics, and what they've said is that animals are really, most animals are very old souls, if you will. They're pretty evolved.
So animals have souls too, like people?
Yes, absolutely. So we'll talk to her about that. And there was an animal psychic that we've actually talked to before, Shirley Scott.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shirley Scott.
And she talks about talking to animals that have passed,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they have a spirit and they have a soul. So we'll find out more about that. Let's just throw out some information, Jason. If you would like to be part of Paranormal Horizons, check out our Facebook page. You can private message us, and we would love to schedule you on the show. Our website,
which is
in progress.
In progress. It's been neglected. We're working on that. It's on our list of to-dos.
It's all a work in progress, but you can. It's Horizons Radio.
Yeah.
You can check that out. And we did recently change the day of our show. We had been broadcasting for way over a year on Tuesdays.
I know.
And now we're doing Wednesdays.
Wednesdays. I think Wednesdays is better.
It's better for us right now. Same time, 7 o'clock Pacific time, 1 hour show. And we love having your participation. We're going to be... Jason, you've got a big list of commercials to make, by the way.
I've always got a big list.
Yeah.
But now that I'm done with my practicum, I have more time to put into that. And, you know, I graduate in the middle of June, and something tells me that I'll have a little bit more time when that happens.
Do we have to have a party?
I think we do need to have a
party. Okay. I think so, too.
But one other thing that we need to do is another paranormal parody. I'm dying to do that.
I know, and we haven't had time, and we have some folks that want to do that with us. Because, you know, let's face it, Jason, paranormal is great, and it can be really serious and heavy, and we like to lighten it up.
Oh, yeah, and it's funny for those of the listeners out there that haven't heard one of those.
We've had Barbie Hammer on.
Yeah, was it Barbie Hammer?
She might yell at us because we got her name wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But she was obsessed with Zach Baggins.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had Cynthia... Bob.
Yeah. It was hilarious. And we need to do it again because it's just funny.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been wondering about Bob and Cynthia, how they're doing, because they were going to get together for a date.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the next paranormal parody.
We can.
Where we show the lighter side of the paranormal.
That's right. And I do want to remind everyone that you can re-listen to this show anytime by going to Blog Talk and downloading the archive of the show or all of our past shows. And you can hear this show on Saturdays, 10 p.m. Pacific time at KITCFM.com and also KNCPFM.com. Those are two FM stations that replay our show. We're very proud to be part of those shows, those stations.
Absolutely. It's a great way to get out there.
Yeah, and we're looking for new opportunities, as always. So, yeah. For those that are interested, Pete's actually going to be teaching a workshop with William Becker at the Ghost Conference. Oh, wait a minute. Jason, read that for me. On June 20th?
On June 20th. And anybody can visit.
I'm getting that all mixed up.
Okay, I'll start over.
Would you please read that?
For those interested, Pete is teaching a psychic workshop with William Becker in Port Gamble on the June 20th, and you can visit www.readingsbypete.com to sign up.
Oh, that's great. Now, you know, William Becker is from Oregon City, and he was one of the creators of the Oregon Ghost Conference, and I've had him on the Super Unknown show when I was living in Central Oregon.
Oh, cool.
And he's really great. So that's something to look forward to as well. Yeah. And again, if you'd like to have a commercial, we're going to be working with Pete on creating a commercial for the upcoming Ghost Conference.
And that'll be fun.
That'll be really fun.
I like doing stuff with the audio when I have downtime.
Yeah. And, you know, life is busy, but we're always going to try to fit things in. And I'm really looking forward to our lineup for the next month. You know, we've got some psychic stuff going on. We've got a book author.
We need to get some UFO stuff, too.
We need UFOs. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. Our friend, Steve Robinson. Now, he was on talking about Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
It was a night that you weren't available, and R.L. Demery graciously co-hosted the show with me, and we had Steve Robinson on, who Was that the show, Ariel?
No, that's what I was thinking, because I remember that show.
No, I got that.
Yeah, because we were talking about...
What's that different?
She had this place up in...
Yes, I'm sorry.
Washington?
You were...
I was here.
...with me when we talked to...
Kick me out.
...Steve, and he also has a lot of information about other monsters, if you will, like mountain monsters.
In the Northwest?
Everywhere.
Well, that's kind of scary. I don't ever want to go camping.
Yeah, I mean, like really freaky stuff. So he's going to talk to us more about that, too, coming up. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
We need that. We need UFOs and cryptozoology. So if anybody has any good or great stories on that, contact us on Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.
Right on. All right, everybody.
And with that, I bid everybody adieu. And we'll see you next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Time for Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio on 106.5 KITC FM and 107.3 KNCP. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons only on 106.5 KITC FM and 107.3 KNCP FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join Jason Ophir and Pat Rice next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we explore the world of the paranormal, and always be sure to visit us on Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.